All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. Today, I'm joined by actress Malky Goldman. How you doing, Malky?
Good. Hi. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on, and it's a pleasure to meet you.
Same here.
So, Malky, I know you're a soccer fan. Have you been following the World Cup?
I have been following very closely, and I am fascinated that it's once again all the European countries, but yeah,
Unfortunately,
Argentina is there, so yeah.
I'm here in Kansas City, so I get to see the action.
Wow, that's amazing. How has it been affecting everything?
Oh, streets have been closing down, a lot of fan fests, a lot more people than usual, so it's all about normal, I
Wow.
guess.
Wow, does it feel festive?
Yeah, it really
Yeah,
does, yeah.
that's nice. That's nice. I'm imagining like many celebrations, like when the Knicks won and New
Oh
York was
yes,
just so festive and exciting. So I assume there are many little small ones, but yeah, you can feel it in New York too when you walk and you see teams dressed a certain way and excited. It's just very, very fun.
now, are you rooting for Argentina or Switzerland as of this recording?
You know what? It's just so embarrassing to say I'm rooting for both.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, I don't know. For some reason, it feels like Switzerland will win, but I sort of would like Argentina to win. Why? I cannot exactly explain.
Okay, so you'll definitely be watching the game tomorrow then, it sounds
Oh
like.
yeah. Oh yeah. I will. Yes, I will.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, I know you're from Israel. You
Yes.
came here to the United States. Well, you lived your first 19 years of your life there in Jerusalem,
Yeah.
and you came here to the United States. Was it kind of a culture shock for you when you came here?
It was really fascinating because when I grew up in Jerusalem, I was in the Orthodox community. And when I moved to New York City, I moved to the same community just in New York. So it was quite similar, except the streets were different and the houses were a little bit different. I remember feeling like the houses felt like they were built out of toys because in Jerusalem, in Israel, everything is built with stones, and here everything was wood, and it just felt so paper thin, and all of these interesting things like the lights, or it was more observing rather than a life change. But then later, when I left the Orthodox community, this is when the shock came. I was like, "Well, this is a huge world, and there's so much to learn." And yeah, definitely, I felt that shake of I'm somewhere else.
Now, when you came to the United States, was that your first visit, or had you made previous visits beforehand?
We did a few visits because we came as a family. My father is a rabbi and he had a synagogue in Brooklyn, and the followers kept begging him to move, and we came to visit a couple of times, and then finally we moved the whole family, and it was a quite big deal, but also in the same time so familiar. Same food, same language, same rhythm, same holiday, so we didn't really feel a big change for the first few years. I didn't, yeah.
York is I'd say I don't know if you would say this or not, but is New York, would you say, bigger than Israel? It's a whole the whole country.
Oh yeah, I think the whole country of Israel is like the size of New Jersey or maybe a little bit less. It's also that in Israel it's much easier to be isolated. Like, well, I grew up in Jerusalem, and my world was tiny. I did not know what was happening outside 30 minutes in each direction. And then when I moved to New York, even when I was in the Orthodox community, it's still everything is just around you. You take the subway, you see all of the advertisements, you see all people from all places. You are going to a doctor, you gotta possibly go to Manhattan. So everything is so spread out that even if you try to stay in the insular community, you sort of have to just, you sort of see much more. But New York is huge and there's never a weekend. This has been so many years that I've lived here. And if I have time, there's never a weekend that I'm thinking, where should I go? Oh, I've been here, I've been here, I've been here, I've been here. There's always something new and something to discover. So you can't compare.
Well, they call it the city that never sleeps as
Yeah.
well.
Yeah, indeed. Yes, it doesn't.
Is this Leia here? Hi, Leia. Is this you?
Hi,
Leia?
yes.
Oh, hello.
Sorry, I have my baby here.
Okay.
Hi. I'm gonna be on mute.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so going back to you, Mulkey. You had originally come here to study, if I'm not mistaken, and I know that you had done some plays, and you came from a very artistic family. But you got into acting in kind of an interesting way. Probably not the way that maybe most people get into acting.
Exactly. So, one thing, I'd moved to New York with my family. I wasn't yet thinking of studying. I probably didn't even know what college was, or anything like that. I moved together with my family, and then only a little bit later, a couple of years later, I discovered a whole other world that I wanted to live, and I left my community, and it was a very, very tough transition, but worth it. And then I started studying at Hunter College. I started studying art, and I did come from a very artistic family in the Orthodox community. Every one of my siblings plays instruments, paints. It was just a happy family, always creating, storytelling, making plays. Me and my siblings would make plays every Saturday afternoon, and it was just so much fun, and music and singing and dancing and good food. And really, I really feel that I got so lucky with the childhood I had. And it was everything I wanted because I didn't know that there is more. I had no idea that my community is small and limiting. It just was my world. That was everything that existed. But then, yeah, then of course I grew up,
Yeah.
and other things were showing their faces, and I was so curious, and I couldn't stop wanting to live and wanting to experience. And I discovered acting in a very professional acting in a very untraditional way. I started with consulting, and then became obsessed, and started studying filmmaking and acting especially. And then I only joined a couple of projects as either consultant or doing set design, helping with art, or doing art department, and created a lot of relationships. And then when I was ready to act, even though I didn't admit it to myself, and I had the first performance that was sort of like an art performance, crossing acting and art performance. And from there, I met the director of the Yiddish theater company, and then he gave me a role, and then things were rolling from there. And I feel like because of the community I come from, and because of my language, of the Yiddish language, I had all of these ins in a quite different way that is expected, and I'm forever grateful.
And you had gone to a party as well that your friend had invited you to, and there was a couple other people there that you had met.
Yep, that
And
was,
that's also how you got into acting.
yes, that was the crazy thing. That was the how I was randomly introduced to it. A friend of mine who was pursuing acting, she got invited to a Friday night meal where a huge film with John Turturro and Vanessa Paradis, and a lot of, I mean, it was a big production, and they did a movie, and it had Orthodox characters. In fact, Vanessa Paradis played an Orthodox woman who her husband passed away, and they wanted to meet people who grew up Orthodox to consult them. And I had no idea who they were because it was just so immediately after I left the Orthodox community. So even though I saw the world, I didn't learn everything. Even though we did plays at home, I didn't know what professional plays are. Even though I saw TV or films on the airplane. I had no idea how it was made. But then when I was invited to that dinner, I had a great time. And then they asked me to come on the project and be a consultant. And then I discovered everything about filmmaking and take one and take two and take three and light and camera and action and everything about it, and the art and the recreation of a house and the angles and everything. And I just became completely obsessed. Completely. It was just like, ah, that's all I wanted to do. And I still all I want to do.
Now, you mentioned you had come to Hunter College to study art. And this is a podcast about what people have been through. And I know that you've been very vocal about your divorce. You have been divorced. And I think that's when you came to the United States, was after that divorce, if I'm not mistaken.
So that I got married and divorced in New York City. That's the
Oh,
thing.
okay.
So to clarify, we lived in Jerusalem, and then when I was 19, the whole family moved to New York City. And then when I was 21, I was set up to get married to someone that I did not want. And that was sort of a moment of realization of there is if I am There's a really good quote in Hebrew, which is in anili mili, like if not for me for me, then who is there for me? It's an ancient quote. And the point is that I've realized that I've been so curious about the world, but I never wanted to do anything or step away or step out because I wanted to protect my family and my loved ones. But when I was set up into a marriage that I really didn't want, it all sort of came crashing. And I thought, no, I don't have anyone, only myself. And if I don't do anything for myself, then I won't have it. And I did go through with the marriage just in case if I was wrong and maybe he was the right person and maybe I was just being super terrified or anxious or wrong or whatever, but then it wasn't. It was very not right. And then I got divorced, and only after that is when I make the big change. And I left everything, the marriage, the community, and I went to Hunter. I went to study, just to study art and English and psychology and philosophy and sociology and everything that I found out I can get my hands on.
Now, in the Jewish culture, I know, I don't know if this still happens probably, but the parents pick the spouse for their son or daughter. I don't know if that's
Yeah.
just for the Jewish community, but maybe in the Mediterranean world, I don't know if that extends out to that as well. But I know in the Jewish culture that happens.
So yeah, I'll explain that like I'll try to make it very simple. So the in the Jewish world it's long gone. But in the ultra-Orthodox community there are still some sub-communities that do it. Even in the ultra-Orthodox community, they have now a whole system where maybe the parents will choose, but then the boy and the girl are going out on dates and they make the decision after 8 or 9 or 10 dates, and they can say yes and they can say no. But so if the Jewish community is one big circle and then the Orthodox community is a tiny little circle in it, and then the ultra-Orthodox community has a lot of different circles of all different kinds. Each one of them changes in how their system is. Some will date, some won't. The one tiny circle that I grew up is ultra, 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 ultra Orthodox. And they are so
That's a lot
trying
of
to find.
ultras right there.
Yeah, I can probably add more. It's everything you imagine, but a way more. And they are so badly trying to hold on to tradition of every kind. And one of them is that the parents set you up. And when you're set up, you're set down at a table with a boy, and the parents are in the other room, and they wait for an hour, and then they knock in the door, and they're like, "All right, are we ready? Can we just drink L'chaim?" And it's this was how it happened to me, but I have to say it's a very small percentage that it still happens. Also, what is different with arranged marriage is there are a lot of different cultures that have arranged marriages, which some people think it's great, some people think it's horrible, but it takes place in a completely different way, meaning people are set up and then they get to meet each other. Hopefully they can say yes or no. But even if they don't have a choice, at least they spend some time together before they get married. The way my tiny little bubble of the ultra, 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 ultra Orthodox community, the way we did it was you meet, you have something between 10 minutes to an hour, and the next time you see each other is the night of the wedding. So that's a little bit more extreme and not so much fun.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the wedding entertainer. I find that story to
Yes.
be interesting about how you got the wedding entertainer, because the director, I think it was, reminded you of your father, and that really just kind of went from there, because it was right then and there they knew, okay, we found our Sarah Leia right there.
Yeah, it was the co-writer actually. It was really interesting because they were interviewing so many people, and this character was just so unique and different, and she grew up in this tiny little community that I did. And when I went to meet when I went to we had a Zoom and I met the father of the Sarah Leia of the character, I was just like, oh, hi, Dad. This is me, Sarah Leia. And then he was immediately saying, yeah, this is it. She's the one. And I had no idea. They only told me that later on. But it is so funny because it's not something I do. I don't come to meetings, to Zooms or to auditions, and I start improvising outside of the audition. Maybe I should actually, but this is just what happened by me seeing his face on the screen, and I was like, he looks like my dad completely. So that was just that fascinating fun fact. And speaking of Sarah Leia in the movie and arranged marriages, that's a good example. She also gets an arranged marriage, but she has the power to say no. She can say yes, she can say no, and they listen to her. So that's another element of like you still get a mar an arranged marriage, but you meet the boy meets the girl, and then the girl can still say no. So that happens as well
I know
sometimes.
that they probably didn't have you in mind when they were doing the role, but it sounds like this role was made especially just for you.
You have no.
Yeah.
If I was to ask for a role being written for me, it would have been this one for sure.
Oh, my connection runs there. Okay. We're good now. Okay. I was gonna say, yeah, it's not too often that that happens for actors and actresses where just it's automatic and it's just no brainer. Okay, that's the person for the role.
Yeah, and it's such a good feeling because so many times I remember I was once helping out casting a movie, so I was in the casting side of it, and I saw the most beautiful, talented people coming in and reading and not getting the role just because it wasn't aligned with the picture of the whole cast and it wasn't aligned with the vision of the director. So that taught me so much about auditioning that we can only come in and do our best. And then it doesn't mean we were good or bad if we weren't chosen. And in this film, it was coming from the other side where it was just like, yes, this one time it worked exactly like they wanted and what they imagined. And it was me. And it was just very exciting.
Now, I have one final question for you, Mulkey. What advice do you give to someone who wants to get into the entertainment industry?
I would say only do it if you cannot not do it. It's brutal and it's
Cannot not.
hard, but in
Yeah.
the same time, if you really want to do it and you cannot not do it, just enjoy it. Enjoy it, stay truthful, stay open, stay honest. Don't listen to anyone saying it's impossible. And I really think that no matter who you are against, no matter what level of stardom, there will eventually be that one project that no one is right but you. So be yourself, go for it fully, and give yourself grace. Yeah.
Okay.
Be your
Well,
best
I'll keep.
friend.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because you hear no quite a lot in the business. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, and you can't you it hurts. You can take a
It
moment
does.
and mourn
Yeah.
the possibility that you wanted and you dreamed about, but also you can't really take it seriously in a way of like, oh, it's me. It's just the nature of the business, and it's
Yes.
a
Yeah.
painful one, but also the most beautiful one.
Absolutely, 100%. Well, Malky, thank you so much for your time. And like I
Of
said,
course.
very nice to meet you.
Same here. So good to meet you. Thank you. And I didn't ask you, who are you rooting for in
I am
soccer?
going for, well, actually, I like Messi. He's an amazing player. So I guess Argentina.
All right, let's do it. Let's win. All
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Well,
right.
thank you so much, Malky. Thank you,
Of
Leia.
course.
Hope you're doing well. All right. Well,
All right.
talk to you all later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.